Good morning. Last week we started going through some practical cases of Grumma and Garmi. Just to very briefly review, we had three basic shitas when a person is responsible, what the Gedarma of Garmi is, when a person is responsible for indirect damage that he caused. The first shita, the shita's Harambam, the Rambam basically holds whenever your intent was to damage, and the damage didn't require another person's action, the Rambam holds it your chayiv. And virtually every case that we had, if there's a machlokes, the Rambam is basically machayiv in every case because he has the most chomerdika guidelines. As long as that's your intent and no one else was needed to complete the hezek, you're going to have to pay. The other sheet, the second sheet, was a sheet of the Ritzbah, a sheet of the Maskan of Tosfos. And that is, he holds that really, Maker Hadin, any indirect damage is pater. Grumma, Garmi, there's no difference. And basically, whenever there was a damage that was common, it was Shchiach, Chazal made a Knas. They said you have to pay, even though Pidin, you should be pater. But because people go around and cause indirect damage to other people, so if it's anything that was common, Chazal said you have to pay. Now, based on that, again, we don't have to look at rules, we don't have to look at guy. If it's something which is common, you're going to have to pay. If it's uncommon, you're going to be pater. There is a machlokes how far to take this. The Shach learns that you can only be mechayiv cases that are either in the Gemara or very similar to the Gemara where they made a kanas. We cannot make up our own cases. The Sma and the Pashas of the Ramah argue, and they say any hezek which is common, you have the Bezdin has the right to say it's common, you have to pay. The third shita, which is the most complicated, was the shita of the Rosh and the Ramban. And they hold that Garmi is Mekar Hadin, and there are a list of criteria that you have to meet in order to have to pay. It has to be, the damage has to be immediate, it has to happen right away. It has to be Bori Hezeka, where it's certain, where the moment you do it, the damage, besides for happening right away, that it's certain, that it definitely will happen, not a Sothic. And the third criteria, which is Machlokes Rishayim, is that some say you need a Maisa in the Gufa Mamon. You have to be acting directly on the item in question, but any damage that happens to another item, a different hefzid, there is a machlokes rishayim whether you'd have to pay. Now we started discussing last week a case where a couple got engaged. They made the chassan, and minhag was that the chassan paid for the vart, and then the kala had cold feet and she broke off the engagement. So the Rambam paskins that the kala is responsible to pay for any of the damage, for all of the expenses that the chassan incurred. Now we explained that first of all, Tedavar Pashut, that if the whole thing was Mekach Tois, if the chassan had withheld information, now she found it out and she's backing out, that certainly would not apply. But assuming she just had cold feet, so since, the Rambam explained, since everyone it's understood, the minhag is, when you get engaged, you make a party, there are expenses. So by getting engaged and then not following through the commitment, that is Garmi, and you'd be responsible to pay. The Ravid argues, and the Ravid says that no. He says, just like we find by Zarei Negina, if you sell someone seeds and they're duds, they plant them, they don't grow. So he says, although you have to return the money that you took for the seeds, it's a Mekach Tois, you gave defective goods, but the expenses that the farmer incurred by planting it, he says, there your potter, that's your own, that is too indirect. It is expenses that the farmer chose to incur on his own. And therefore, there the Ravid says that you're going to be, just like your potter by Zarei Negina, the Ravid says that the Kala as well is not going to be responsible for the expenses that the chassan incurred. Now, as we pointed out last week, this Kasha is a little bit of a problem. Because according to the Mechaber and according to the Ramah, even by Zarei Negina, if you sell someone's seeds, if you know they're defective, you're responsible for all of the for all of the expenses. So over here, where she knows by backing out of the chasana that she knows good and well that she's going to cause the chasana loss. So the Yeshua Yisrael says the Rambam Lishitasei holds that you're chayev because it's considered b'mezid. She knows it's going to cost him money, and that's why you're going to have to pay. Now, all the other Achroinim and Rishainim that do not say this Teretz, they seem to hold that it's very different. It's one thing if you sell seeds knowing they're no good. So there, the Ramah, and presumably the Rambam, hold that you're going to have to pay. That's malicious. You're responsible for the loss. When she got engaged, her intent was not to get engaged and then break it off. So it's true she changed her mind for no good reason. We're not going to call that an oinus. You know, again, if she finds out that he's an axe murderer, that's going to be different. So making a commitment and breaking it is not going to be called an oinus. But to rise to the level of mezid, of zaray negina, to be chayiv, there the poskim seem to hold it. It wouldn't rise to that level, and that's why they ask this. That's why they ask the question. And again, there are different terutzim and why it's different. Zaray negina, the damage happens later on. There's time in between. It's being done for his profit. Different terutzim, but that is the way most poskim deal with this problem. Now, a very common question of garmi comes up in the context of a din Torah. What happens if a person owes you money and he refuses to come to Beis Din? To schlep him to Beis Din or to schlep him to court costs money. You have to hire lawyers, you have to take time, you have to chase after him. When you actually bring him to Beis Din and you prevail, can you force him to pay you for the damages, for the cost of the litigation? So over here there's an interesting discussion. The Ramah and Siman Yudala talks about two different cases. The simpler case is where a person says, "Okay, I'm willing to go to Beis Din and set up an appointment." They set up an appointment. He travels to the city where the Beis Din is, and sure enough, the other party doesn't show up. So it comes out that you've wasted all that money traveling to the Beis Din, and for nothing. Now you're gonna have to schedule another session. So there, there are more paskins that you're chayiv. You have to pay. Since, based on the other party's word, you travel to this Beis Din, you travel to that city, you incurred expenses, that is garmi, and you're going to have to pay. Now, Kiveger points out, that case is simpler that you're chayiv, because when a person tells you, go spend the money, I'll take care of it. Go to this place, go, you know, schedule the session, I'm going to be there. Whenever someone specifically tells you to spend money, and then he backs out, in that case he says, everyone would agree it's garmi, and in that case you'd have to pay. Now that's where he told you, I'm ready to come, and you set up an appointment. What happens if he just refuses to come? And you have to, Beis Din can't force him to come. They give you a heter to go to court, you sue him in court, and finally you're able to collect the money. Can you go after him for your court fees? So over here, the Beis Yosef brings down a Chuvas Arush that says, yes, you're responsible to pay. Since the person refused to come to Beis Din, he's responsible, and the prevailing party will be able to recover all of their litigation costs. And the Mechaber in Siman Yudalev brings down this shita, he brings down a shita that argue he's not machriya. But the Ramah paskins, api halacha, you are responsible to pay, and if the person refuses to come to the Torah, he's chayiv, and he will have to pay for all of the litigation costs. Question is why? How does this stem with the rules of Grum and Garmi that we just went through? Zog the Vilna Gaon. Let's go through the Cheshbon. If you hold like the Rambam, that anytime it's Kavanosek Lahazik, anytime you intend to cause damage, so then over here it's very likely, if you know you owe someone the money, you refuse to come to Beis Din, so that's, you're going to be Chayiv. If you hold like Tosfos, that it's a Knast, anything that's common, any damage, time you cause damage in a way that's common, you have to pay. So, unfortunately, this is a common type of hezek, and therefore, you have to pay. But if you hold like the Rush, that you need Bari Hezekah, you need Miyad, you need a Mais on the Guf HaMamon, Zok the Vilna Gaon, you don't have that here. There's no Mais on the Guf HaMamon. The damage that you have lawyer fees. There's nothing to do with what you did. And it's not Miyad. He has to go ahead. He has to chase after you. Zok the Vilna Gaon, this is a raya that the Iker Halacha is that the reason why Garmi is Chayiv is because of Knas. And therefore, any type of damage that's common, forget about the rules. If it's common, you have to pay. And that's how the Gaon explains the Ramah's Psak. Or the Rambam. Right, because the Ramah doesn't bring down the Shitas Rambam. The Ramah in Shinpei Vav brings down Taisvis and the Rush. So over here, you see that the Iker is like Taisvis, not like the Rush. Now the problem with this is a very nice shot in the Ramah. The problem is that what's the makar of this halacha you have to pay? You mean it's a Chuvas Arush. The Rush is the other shita. The Rush is the one that says for Grama and Garmi, you need Bari Hezekah, you need Miyad, you need Ma'is and the Gufa Mamun. So if the Rush is the one that says that you're chayiv, obviously there's a reason to be chayiv even without the reason why you're chayiv is not simply Knas. Because the Rush is the one that argues on Knas. So if you look at the Chuvas Ramah and Siman Kufches is Mavur, that when a person refuses to come to Beis Din, he says there's a special Knas, Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker, that does not depend on the regular dinim of Garmi. It's a new halacha because you refuse to come to Beis Din. So Beis Din was mechayev you to pay for the expenses that whatever you incurred, forcing him to come. Now this is, and the truth is that halacha, this is it's very mistaber, because if you look at in Siman Yud Aleph, this halacha is all said when a person refuses to come to Beis Din, and Beis Din gives you a heter arkois. Beis Din gives you permission to sue him in court to force him to come to Beis Din. The mashmoyis is, let's say the person just refuses to pay, and you have to bring him to Beis Din. So the mashmoyis in Siman Yud Aleph is, you don't have to pay. It's only when he refuses to come to Beis Din and you have to go to court, so there you have this new din, this hefker Beis Din hefker, this knas, that we force the Messiah to pay for the litigation costs. But if he comes to Beis Din, even if he really has no defense, even if his case is frivolous, it sounds like from the Ramah and the Mechaber that there's no chiv of Garmi. The chiv is only because of this new din of knas, and that applies only when he's a Misarev Ledin. There is, the Yeshuas Yisrael does argue. Yeshuas Yisrael says that if a person refuses to pay, you're forced to bring him to a din Torah. He comes to Beis Din, and he has nothing to say for himself. There's absolutely no tzad, he has no reason not to pay. He's just being difficult. He's just wasting your time and money. Yeshuas Yisrael says that he's chayav to pay. It will be a garmi. It's only in a case where he thinks he's right. He has a tzad, he has a tain in halacha. So then the halacha is, if you think you're right, you have the right to go to Beis Din and litigate the matter. But if you know that you're wrong and you just force him to bring you to Beis Din in order to schlep it out for him to waste his time and his money, there the Yeshuas Yisrael has a chiddush and says that you will be responsible to pay for the hezekus. No, it's before. Before. This is talking about getting to the psak, getting him to if he refuses to come to Beis Din, and it costs, you spend money for the litigation. So then the question is, does he have to reimburse you for your cost to get to the psak? So over there, if he doesn't come to Beis Din, you have to go. You get a heter akois. There, there are mob haskins. You have to pay for the court costs. If he comes to Beis Din, the mechaber there says you don't have to pay for the Beis Din fees. So the mashmoyis is you never have to pay. The Yeshuas Yisrael's chiddush is, he says, that's only a normal case where he thinks he's right. He has a tzad, you have a tzad, so even though Beis Din agrees with you, but a person has the right to argue his case in Beis Din. If he knew all along he was wrong and was just doing it maliciously, there the Yeshuas Yisrael says that he would have to pay you even for your Beis Din costs. That's a very good taina. If he knows he owes you the money but he can't afford to pay, that is a very legitimate taina lahalacha. So if he's lying, he does have the money, then the Yeshuas Yisrael would say, you have to pay. That's because he had no right to withhold the funds. But if he in fact doesn't have the money, and Beis Din has to work out a payment plan, Beis Din mechuyav to paskin what he has to give up, what he doesn't have to give up, that even the Yeshuas Yisrael would agree is a legitimate din Torah. Yes, as long as the Yeshuas Yisrael is clear, it has to be bemazed. He knows that he's wrong. If he feels if there is a tzad, even though the Beis Din disagrees with it, lahalacha, but there is a tzad, it's not a garmi, it's not kavanos or lahazik. Now, we actually had an interesting case. It was actually a zabla where a person was teveya. He got up there for 4 hours, ranting and raving about what terrible things the other person did to him. At the end of the 4 hours, we took a little break. He finished, he rested his case. The dayanim all looked at each other and said, is there any reason for the other person to respond? Even if the Teveya was right on his facts, he had absolutely no claim. The claim made absolutely no sense. The problem is the Teveya wasn't 100% normal. And in his mind, he thought he was completely right, and he had a rock-solid claim. So would the Yeshuas Yisrael say that you're chayev over here? So this is an interesting case. On one hand, his claim made absolutely no sense. There's no tzad in halacha he has to pay. On the other hand, in his mind, he was completely right. So if you need kavanos lahazik, just because his mind is a little bit, he has some crossed circuits somewhere or other, but he is coming to Beis Din in good faith. He believed he was right. He had a claim. He wanted his day in court. So that mistama would not be kavanos lahazik. You need that he's wrong. He knows that he's wrong, and he's just doing this to make things difficult, to schlep things out, and to cause the other personal loss. But absent that, there is really no tzad to be mechayivim. What, where he refuses to come to Beis Din because of that? So that's not going to work for the very simple reason that a person never has to go to any particular Beis Din. If you get a hasmana from Bez Din A, it's totally within your right to say, I'll go to a Din Torah, but I want to go to Bez Din B. You can never be forced, unless it's a Bez Din Kavua in the city, which Rav Moshe says does not exist today. But in normal circumstances, a Bez Din can never force you to appear in front of them. So even though the hasmana is coming from a Bez Din, you feel is incompetent or negeh b'davar, that's totally irrelevant because you could have responded, I'll go to a different Bez Din. If a person claims that a Bez Din or there doesn't exist that is competent, so I don't think that's a very good time. You search hard enough throughout the entire Klal Yisrael, you probably will find three people that are competent.
So, what's the reason of Sakya? And there's no question if he has to pay or not. If he then avoids paying, you have to go hire a collection agency and go after him.
That's not discussed. The Yeshuas Yisrael would say that you're chayiv because you have no, you're just avoiding to pay, you're just forcing him to incur expenses that he's not, that he doesn't have to. If you according to the other poskim, it's not clear, because if it's a special knas for a person who's masariv ledin, we don't know whether this knas, or we have no makar that this knas extended to any person that doesn't comply with his chiyuvim and halacha. Okay, it could be. I'm saying, but in halacha, we don't have a makar for it. In that case, is not discussed specifically that you're chayiv to pay. According to the Yeshuas Yisrael, it's mistarva you would, because if he learns whenever it's malicious, you have to pay. But according to the other poskim, there's no makar. If you want to make a new knas because it's shchiach and we're going that garmi where shchiach, you have to pay and achanami. Well, it's usually the wrong way. You're trying to force him to pay. So kimli is when you're the muchzik. So Yeshua, so Adrab, he can summon a kimli not like this issue is shown and not have to pay. But again, if it's in bez, then the bez will have to machriya whether it's going to be garmi or not. So this is as far as getting your court costs. The bottom line is it is extremely uncommon for a bez to award court costs unless there's something in the contract that says that he would have to pay. Now we mentioned last week also that there's a concept of mara dinu l'shulchani. If you have money, you're not sure whether it's counterfeit or whether it's real, you ask a professional. If he says it's real and he's wrong, he's responsible to pay for the loss that you incurred. That being said, if you ask someone for advice, you're sitting in shul, on the way out from shul, someone tells you, buy Google. It's, sure, great investment. You go ahead, you follow his advice, and you end up with a loss. So if you hear that halacha is giving advice, giving an etzarah, you are not responsible. Now, certainly in the case of Google, where everyone knows, you're just guessing. They don't, but the person knows it. But even in a case where the person giving advice knew that what he's saying wasn't true, and he maliciously did it just to get you, so it certainly is aser. Lots of today shemayim, there'll be a groma. But to be mechayiv al pidin, just because he gave you bad advice, you can't be mechayiv. Now, what's the difference? How come if you ask a banker, is this $100 bill good or not? There, he's responsible for his mistake. And if you give him investment advice, you're not. So the difference is that you're only responsible when the person says, alai kosamichnu. When you go to the bank and you want to know, is this bill good or not? It's very clear. If the banker says it's good, you're going to accept the bill. Since your word is the psak din, you have the final say and whatever you say goes. So in that case, you're responsible for the consequences. And if you're negligent or you're presheya or if you're maliciously given bad advice, you're going to have to pay. In contrast, you stam, you're walking, you're schmoozing with the person, you tell him you think this is a great investment. So it's not clear he's going to rely on you. He may not. Unless it is very clear that your word is the final say, he's going to follow what you do, there's an alaika samichna, the halacha is you're going to be pater. The bar for this is fairly high. Even in cases where you're paying someone for his advice, you're paying him, still, according to machlekes over there in Simon Shinvav, but according to some poskim, unless you say specifically, I'm following your advice, let me know what to do, I'm putting in the order, you're going to be pater, because he can say, you paid me for my advice, but I thought you're going to shop around, you're asking for people's advice, you'd make your own decision. It's only when either you say it or it's very clear you're the one that he's listening to, then there's malkin to be machayiv and malts maradin or l'shulchani.
mm-hmm. invests and loses money, is he responsible for money?
So again, if he's losing money because the investment goes bad in the future, no one guarantees the future. The question over here is, if at the time he gave the advice, if you would have read through all the filings, you would have seen this investment is terrible. But he didn't read through all the filings. So if you're paying someone for his advice, and it's clear you're relying on it, whatever he says goes, certainly if he's managing the money, then if there's any level of negligence, he's going to be responsible. On the other hand, if you're not paying for the advice, or if you're paying for the advice, but he gives you the advice, then you decide what to do, then he would not be liable. Now, based on this, there are some very interesting cases in the Poskim. As we discussed last week, a case where you ask, you want to lend someone money, you're not sure whether he's credit worthy, so you call his accountant and says, and you ask him, is he good for the money? So the accountant says, yes, he has plenty of money, I know his financials, don't worry about it, and it turns out it's not true. So the person is responsible. He told you, he gave you the advice to lend the money, and he caused you the loss. What happens if you call the person's brother? And I tell him, listen, your brother needed a loan. Should I give? Can I give it to him? Can he pay? Is he going to be able to pay me back or not? So here there are some tshuvas that say that in there the brother's potter. Why? Because when you ask someone for advice, What do you do? You ask an impartial person for their advice. And if you trust the person, you're going to follow his advice. If you ask a brother, you know he has negius. If you know he has negius, we can't assume you're going to rely on his word, and therefore you're going to be patur. Now, and again, I don't think it's a gzeiras hakasav. In a case where it's clear that even though it's a brother, you're going to rely on him, stama you be chayiv. But in a normal case, if you know the person has a negius, you know he has, so in that case, even if he's wrong, you would not be able to be mechayev him. Now, going back to a case that we discussed last week as well, we discussed the case where a person lent money to a moisid, and before he lent the money, he asked the executive director, is the moisid good for the money? And the executive director said yes, and it turns out that that was not the case. So again, we discussed last week different svaras, but this svara would come in as well. Because you were asking someone who had a negius, his job is to borrow the money, so certainly it's usur for him to lie. And if he knows that it's not good for the money, he would have to disclose that. But to come after him as a garmi, you caused my loss in a case where the lender knew this was a biased opinion, you would not be able to go after him for garmi. The bar for garmi is fairly high.
Mm-hmm. So how would that be different? You went first hand under this idea because that was an expert, go after him for the physical therapy and stuff?
You went to a physical therapist that was doing the wrong thing? Right. So in that case, that is a reasonable case of Maru Din L'Shulchani, because you're relying on his opinion, and it's probably clear on this kind of thing, you're not going to go for a second opinion. Whatever he says, he gives you, it's worse over there. He probably gives you a prescription for the therapy, so he's telling you specifically to go do this. In theory, you would have a claim, but you'd have to deal with two other factors. The first is, was it negligence, or was this you can always do a million tests. But if based on the symptoms, this was the responsible thing to do, then the fact that had you done 30 tests, you would have found something else, is not a claim against him. It's not a pshia. That's an oinus. He did what the normal standard of care is and what he was supposed to do. The second complication, and that's we can't go through now, is that by a doctor, there's another completely set of halachas, the Tosefta, that says that a doctor that has reshus to practice, whatever that means, is not liable for mistakes. And he says the reason for that is that if he was liable, nobody would want to practice medicine. They knew how high the malpractice insurance would be, and therefore Chazal gave a blanket exemption for mistakes that a doctor made. Again, there's what to be said. The case over there seems to be something which is a shogeg. If he's kavanos lahazik, it'll be different. But even if it's kariv l'pshia, kariv l'mezid, I believe it's going to be putter. But that's medical map. It's a whole sugya. We'll have to discuss it in a future share.
So to follow that, the counterfeit person, the expert, he can take a look at the bill and say, oh, you know what? Now this bill is good. Now if you really wanted to, he could have put it back, gave it a lab test and gave it a microfiber.
Again, if you have to go to a lab test on a $100 bill, which isn't kedai, that's mistamo the level of oinus. The case over there is it was just a mistake in judgment. He gave it, it was a mistake, especially in something that requires a high level of expertise. If you're paying someone, he's going to be responsible. If it's an oinus, if it's something that there was no way for him to know, a new type of counterfeit that can only be tested with a lab and that just doesn't make sense to do, then certainly oinus is a valid defense. Yes. But again, that's Sugyan Shinvav. When he's getting paid, he has a higher level of liability. Certain cases where he has which require a high level of expertise, so even if you're a volunteer, you're going to be responsible because you had no business offering an opinion when you knew it was over your head. But that depends. Tabach Uman, the difference between a sheikhid and a banker, that's a Sugyan Shinvav. Okay, again, medical malpractice, we'll have a separate shiur about that, what the halakha l'mais is. Again, Tosefta says that if a person has rishus, he's in theory going to be pater, and the halakha l'mais we'll hold off.
If you say that someone who was a somewhat nogeya has less than a modest now, and you shouldn't have relied on him, how far does that go? Does that apply in the case, in your general case of mechachtois, as you come to the car salesman and told you something, and you relied on his thing, you bought the car, so if he come back, so now you're taking the entire, he said, well, you shouldn't have relied on me because...
No, because that's different. Because my mecha toys, I bought a car, I didn't buy a lemon. So if the car is defective, it's not a question of whether I should rely on you or not, it's a question of you didn't deliver what you promised. We're dealing with damage that come later. I lent the money to this person. When I asked his brother, is he good for the money, and he said yes, should I have relied on that and said, okay, he must be wealthy if his brother said so? So there's a svara. Again, it's a svara. One shuva brings it down, that since you knew there was an agias, you shouldn't have relied. You should have asked someone else. He's not a garmi. Certainly also, if you knew about it, it's not. There'll be a grumble, there'll be chivas deshmaim, but to make him pay, to say it was a laikos semichna, that you understood that based on your word, I was going to go ahead and do this, that you can't do, because most people would not rely on someone who was certainly a negei b'davar. So I did see a tshuva that extends this to a broker who clearly has a vested interest to push the deal through. Then there's no like hasimichta because he's trying to earn his commission. It's hard to make rules out of it because this is not a Rashba, this is not a Gemara. It's a svara that when everyone agrees when there's a like hasimichta and they mislead you, you're chayiv. Everyone agrees when it's not clear, you're going to be pater. But there's a svara to say in cases where you know there's an agias, it's not normal to rely. I've never heard of anyone who a shadchan calls up and says, I have the best boy in Lakewood. He said, good, so read the shidduch, because you said he's good. People check. So if someone goes ahead and doesn't do any research, they just take the shadchan at face value, best boy in Lakewood, then I think the shadchan would have this defense. I expected you to look into it. Now again, this is not a heter to do it. This is just a question where there's a tziyas moment after the fact, al tzedina degarmi.
How does it apply to these things? These a car, and the person is doing a desk job, and the car you get for a loan, you have to go back to the company, or do you go to the leaser, or how does that work?
Okay, if you're leasing a used car, so then what do you want from the person? He leased you a new car. It's a lemon. That's annoyingness. He did what he was supposed to do. He got you a car. Now, if Toyota that day, the guy person on the assembly line was drunk, that's an oinus. He wasn't pesheya. This is only when the person in between was pesheya. Either he lied or he represented a fact that he really didn't know. He was guessing. But if he acted, he got you the car that he was supposed to get you, and there was some defect with it, that's not, you can't hold him liable for things that he had no way of anticipating. Now, going back to one case that we started with last week, but we didn't get to the bottom line. Is a person's going to a meeting in Manhattan, he's running late, he calls up a friend who works in the neighborhood and says, listen, can I see there's a spot right in front of the building, can I park here? And the friend says, no problem, you can park there. Park, go into your meeting, and you come back, and the car is either not there or it has a ticket on it. So are you chayiv al tzgarmi or not? So let's go through the guidelines. If it's kavanos al-hazik, if you need the Rambam, kavanos al-hazik, So we have to know, what was the friend thinking? You know, no spots of an hand are legal. So you have to figure out, is it negligent? If it's kavanos lazik, you certainly would have to pay. If it was negligent, that would be similar to it. Otherwise you'd be pater. According to the Rosh, as far as the case of Ma'ar Din L'Shulchan, if you ask someone for their advice, they tell you it's good. They tell you take this coin. It's not counterfeit and it's wrong. So halacha is everyone agrees in that case you have to pay. So this case is l'chayr similar. They're telling you the spot is good, the spot is clear, and it's not. So this is a case of Ma'ar Din L'Shulchan where if the person giving the advice was negligent, he should be responsible to pay. However, we may have to look at what, it may depend on what happened to the car. Because if you come back and the car is gone, so then your question was, can I park here? He said, yes, it's clean, it's legal, it's safe, car is good, you lost the car, so now you can be tevei. If you got a ticket, the halacha might be different. Because the ticket is mamon acher. The issue in Ma'ar Din L'Shulchan was always, should I take this coin or not? When you accept this coin and this coin is worthless, there's damage to the item that was in question. Whenever you're dealing with it, a second step, in a case where a coin gets knocked under the water, where you can recover it, but you have to pay someone, you have to pay a diver to get it. Since it's a second step, the coin is fine, you just have to pay someone to recover it. So there, it was Machlokes Rishonim, but some Rishonim said that since it's not a Ma'is in the Guf HaMomon, you're going to be Pater. So in that case, if there's a ticket, which is mamon acher, or arguably if it was towed, where you know where it is, you can get it back, you're just going to have to pay the city something. So then, just like when you knock the coin down, the halacha is, according to some Rishonim, since the coin is fine, it's just paying the driver to get it, that's mamon acher, you're going to be pater, according to some Rishonim. So these Rishonim would pater here as well, because the damage is not to the car itself, it's an outside hezek. On the other hand, if you're driving your car somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, you want to call up your friend in the army and say, is this a minefield or not? And he says, yeah, don't worry, we cleared off all the mines. So there, you relied on him. If you hit a mine, the car is destroyed. That's a case where it's a marriage that you'd clearly be chayav. But when it's not a minefield, or it's just a ticket that you're getting, which is mamon acher, there, this will depend on a machlokes rishayim. So that will maybe make it into a shogeg. If the person, on the other hand, if the person knew that it switches off and he knew that he was really guessing, that would be a pshia. And that would be more of a reason to be chayiv.
But also, the guy's not so sure exactly how long he's
parking there
for. So it could be just
fine now. Okay, so again, like this. In a case where the person was negligent, if the person who was asked knew there were different guidelines and didn't bother telling him, that would probably be a pshia. On the other hand, if it was always good and they just switched it, you know, the night before, that would be an onus. So you really have to look at the case.
I know no one's ever gotten a ticket in that place, you know. That's not that, and all of a sudden the next day
it's hard to give kolam with these type of questions. Now this is all in Dina de Garmi. Whenever anything that didn't fit Dina de Garmi, we said is a grumba and you don't have to pay. Now, as we pointed out many times, it does not mean it's mutter. Any case where you're causing someone a loss is going to be a grama b'nezak, and it's going to be aser. But, and there's, not only is it going to be aser, there's a chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim. Now, chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim is interesting. There's a halacha in Siman Lamed Beis that we had in the Ma'ar Mekayim is actually last week, that if you hire witnesses, false witnesses, to testify, they go ahead, they lie to Bez, then they make someone pay money. So the halacha is that certainly, if Bezdin figures out that it's fake, they're going to make the person return the money. But let's assume Bezdin is fooled, and the witnesses did a great job telling their story. But the person who hired the witnesses feels bad, and he calls up the victim and says, listen, I want to ask you a mechila. I'm the one that hired these witnesses to lie. So the here is Zok the Mechaber, the halacha is, that al-dina de garmi, you're potter. Because you didn't cause the damage, the witnesses did. They're the ones that have to pay. But you are a groma bin azakin. There's a chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim. Bezin can't make you pay because you're not the one that caused the loss. You just set up the people that did it. But there is a chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim. Zag the Rambam, that's only if you hire them. If you go over to witnesses and you talk them into lying to Bezin and making the wrong person pay, there's no chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim. There it's not a groma, there's no chiyav lotzei sidei shemayim. So in this, all the achrayim say, well, how can this be? You talked witnesses into doing an avera. You send them to go ahead and to lie and make someone lose money. So how can we say there's no chiyuv? It's not a grumble. How can we say there's no chiyuv b'dei shamayim? Zok tiktzayis and a number of other achrayim, a beautiful teretz. So they say like this. It's a davar pashut. If you cause someone a loss, we don't have to go open up a shulchan aruch and figure out groma garmi. There's no question about it. You tell witnesses to lie, that's awesome. And you did an avo to the person, you have to ask mechila. But we're not discussing whether you did an issa. That's clear. That doesn't need a makar. What we're discussing here is whether it rises to a level of groma where there's a chi of lotzeh yidei shamayim. Chivotis bidei shemayim doesn't just mean you did an iser. It means bidei shemayim unless you pay the person for his loss, you're not yotzi. You're chiv bidei shemayim. On that, the Rambam is saying a chiddush. If you hire witnesses to lie, there's a chiv bidei shemayim. If you just talk them into it, so you did an iser, you did an avo, you have to ask mechila. But there's no chiv lotis bidei shemayim. You don't owe the money bidei shemayim. But in a case of grama, in a case where it's more direct, where you're paying the witnesses, there is a chiyuv latzidei shemayim. Until you actually pay, you're not yotzei your chiyuv. Now, based on that, the halacha is, if Beis Din knows you're going to do a grama, so first of all, grama bin azakan is aser, Beis Din has the right to step in and stop you from doing it. Although after the fact you're not going to have to pay, that just means Beis Din can't make you pay. But certainly, because everyone agrees it's also to cause someone else a loss, Beis Din would prevent you from doing it. And more than that, in many cases, the halacha is mishamtinam lei. The halacha is Beis Din will put a person in cheirum until he agrees to indemnify the victim, until he accepts to pay any damage, even if it's a grama, but a person has to accept to pay for any loss that he causes. And the reason is, again, because there's a chiyuv bidei shemayim, it's not just an iser, it's bidei shemayim, you really should have to pay. Beis Din has the right to pressure the person to put him in cheirim until he accepts to pay the victim for any loss that he may incur in the future. Now let's go to what is one of the most problematic cases in Garmi, and it's actually a Maisa Shahaya recently. A person bought a house. Before he bought that house, he bought title insurance. Now, apparently what happened is that he paid for the title insurance company that he paid. It was a Frumbiad. What he did is he pocketed the premium. He did a title search. He saw that the property was free and clear. So he figured there's not much of a chance there'll really be any claim. So instead of actually buying the insurance, he just pocketed the premium. And they had a closing. So he kept all of the premium. This person, this buyer who thought he had title insurance, turns out he did not have any title insurance. Now, as these things tend to go, besides this person being a ganav, he was also incompetent. At his title search, he had missed a claim again. He had missed that there was a lien on the property. And sure enough, a few weeks after the closing, this creditor comes forward and foreclosed on the property. The buyer, okay, he lost the property, but he had title insurance. So he puts in a claim. And at that point, they realized that he didn't have insurance. The broker, the whole thing was one big fraud. So he calls up the broker and says, "Listen, what do you do to me? I want you to pay me, pay out the claim. If you didn't give me the insurance, I want you to pay the whole claim." So the insurance broker said, "Wait a second. I agree that I'm a guy on the premiums. I took premiums for an insurance, and you didn't have the policy. So that I'll give back to you. But as far as the claim, what do you want from me? I'm just a grandma. If you would have had insurance, you would have been covered. But it's not Bari Hezeka. I'm only a grandma. I don't want to have to pay you." What is the halacha? So let's deal with a claim piece by piece. The first issue is, did this person cause you a loss by not buying the policy? Or did he prevent you from earning a profit? So this is a funny case. On one hand, it's a loss. Because you didn't have insurance, you lost the property. You didn't get anything in exchange. But if you think about it, it's not really. Really, they're two separate transactions. You didn't lose the property because you didn't have insurance. You lost the property because there was a lien on it. The creditor had the right to take it. Had you had insurance, you would have lost. What? Okay. Okay, good, fine. Ask him. We'll get there. It's a very good point. We'll get there. So the issue is Minyas HaRevach. So if you think about it, technically speaking, it's really just a Minyas HaRevach. You'd stopped him from earning a profit. Because, for example, let's say you buy stock. You have Microsoft at $100 a share. You're afraid it's going to go down in value. So you buy puts. You buy options, the right to sell it for $100. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, it goes down. It's worth $90. So what happens? Your stock investment lost $10. Your option investment gained $10. There's a revach, there's a hefset. So it happens, they happen to offset. But if we want to look at the stock investment, there's a hefset. If we want to look at the option investment, there's a revach. So Zog de Divrei Malkiel, when a person does an insurance claim, is always revach, because the hefset happened, the house burned down. No, you would have had a revach because you hedged it, you had insurance, you had the right, you get a payment, you were under certain circumstances. But all the person did is minyas harevach. Minyas harevach, we said, in most cases, unless it's minyas harevach barer, minyas harevach in most cases is going to be potter. You need insurance. It's true. You need an insurable interest. You need insure. It's true. You need an insurable interest, but that's really an arbitrary law. There's really no reason for it. I'm sorry, if you're in the hedge fund industry, you can find, you can buy, you can do naked shorts. You can buy put. You know, you can insurance also. People do it. They're not supposed. It's they're. Okay, that's a very arbitrary rule. There's really no reason for that. The LMI insurance company is there just to protect homeowners. They don't just want to deal. It's not just there for arbitrage and for speculators. But that you could just as well start selling, insurance on interest rate swaps or on houses. What's the difference? So that's the first problem. The second problem is there a clear hezek borer? Is it clear that he would lose the money? So in a case where there's a creditor, maybe borer, because now we know there's a creditor all along, the creditor is certainly going to come and take it away. But in a case, had the case been a little bit different, fire insurance, the house may or may not burn down. So Divrei Malkiel says that l'chayra, based on the technical halachas of Garmi, l'chayra you can't be mechayev him. But then the Divrei Malkiel brings down another chiddush, and that is, as a halacha, it's a chassam sefer. It's actually not so clear whether we hold like this halacha. But the discussion of Grom and Garmi is in Hilchas Mazik. What happens if you have a shomer? You have someone, you give someone a contract to watch, and he gives it to the wrong person. So in some cases, you'll get him out as garmi. But in other cases, Zog v'chsam soifer, even if you can't get him as a garmi, once he's a shomer, once he took responsibility for something, there, even gromas, even losses, or even minyas harevach, according to some poskim, you have a higher level of responsibility. The v'chsam soifer says it by shomerim. There is a similar discussion, again, not in Lumdus, it's not the same, but there's a similar discussion by a shliach, or a poyo. If you hire someone to do a job, there, midin arvos, or again, different svaros, there, in many cases, you're going to have a greater responsibility. You hire him to do a job, he has responsibility to do it, or pay for the damages that result. So that's a different Malkia. Over here, where the broker is getting paid to provide the insurance, since you paid him to do it, he can't go ahead afterwards and say it's only a grumma, it's only lost profits, maybe it would happen, maybe it wouldn't happen. Once he's being paid to do it, there he's going to be responsible for anything that happens if he doesn't do his job correctly. But then the real kill has a technical problem. Because the case of title insurance actually would work out according to this svara. But what happens if you buy medical insurance or fire insurance? Who is the agent working for? Are you paying your insurance agent? No. You're buying the policy from the company. The agent is working for the company. They pay him a commission, not you. The emperor Zog de Divrei Malkiel, really, he's working for the company, not for you. He's not your poyo. He's not your agent. He's working for the company setting up the policy. And therefore, the Divrei Malkiel says, in that case, perhaps you'd be potter, because you are not paying. The customer is not the one that pays him to do the work. No, you're not really. You're not paying him. If he doesn't get his commission, can he go after you? No. You're buying something from the company. The company is paying him a commission to set up to broker this deal. But he's working for them, not for you. Now, although the Divrei Malkiel at the end, although he says the svara, then he's mitzadet, he says, even though maybe he's technically being paid by the other party, since he's working for you, maybe as a volunteer, maybe just as an unpaid, but maybe he does have a responsibility because he is working on your behalf, He goes back and forth. In Halach L'maisa, in this type of case, I think Minhog and the Dina Malchus Adina would play a role, since I think it's understood that when you use an insurance broker, they're based on the regulations and the laws and the Minhog, they have responsibility, so I think it's possible that you would have to pay. But in the absence of a Minhog, if this transaction took place on a desert island without any Minhogim, in Hilchos Grom and Garmi, it is you know, not a Dabar Pashut at all, whether or not you can make a claim. Wait, I just want to end off. We're out of time. Let me just end off with one final question that we'll deal with at length next week, and this is: what happens to the next step? What happens if a person wants to sue the title company, and for whatever reason it is, he believes he'll have a claim against the title company? He goes ahead, he files a lawsuit, and then he gets a phone call from the broker, and the broker says, "I want to bring you to a Din Torah. You want to bring me to a Din Torah? I mean, you're the one that made the prop." He says, "No." But because you're suing the title insurance company, now I'm going to get into trouble. Because they're going to come after me for not writing the policy, I'll lose my license, I'll have all sorts of different hezekers. Can the broker claim Garmi that by you putting in that claim, you're causing me a loss? And this is, now, this question comes up in this extreme case, but really, anytime you put in an insurance claim, even though you're going after the insurance company, ultimately you're causing damage to the insured, to the person who owns the policy. So do you have to be worried about the effect it'll have on him, the fact that his rates will go up, he'll lose coverage, he'll have other sorts of damages? What are the halachas in such cases? And in Mitzvah Shem, we'll discuss that next week.